بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، so بإذن الله تعالى today we will continue with our study of the 40 hadith of Imam al-Nawawi. And today our study is of the hadith number 35, the hadith concerning brotherhood. Anybody like to read it from what they have memorized? Sheikh Muhammad, tafadhal. Ahsan, barakallahu fiik. This here is the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam said, لا تحاسدوا. Don't be jealous against each other. ولا تناجشوا. Don't practice najsh, artificially inflating the prices against each other. وَلَا تَبَاغَبُوا. Don't hate each other. وَلَا تَدَابَرُوا. Don't turn away from each other. وَلَا يَبِعْ بَعْضُكُمْ عَلَى بَيْعِ بَعْضُ. And you should not enter upon the transactions, the business transactions of each other. وَكُونُوا عِبَادَ اللَّهِ إِخْوَانًا. And you should be slaves of Allah as brothers. الْمُسْلِمْ أَخُ الْمُسْلِمْ. The Muslim is the brother of the Muslim. لَا يَظْلِمُهُ وَلَا يَخْذُلُهُ وَلَا يَكْذِبُهُ وَلَا يَحْقِرُهُ. He doesn't oppress him. He doesn't forsake him. He doesn't lie to him. He doesn't belittle him. التقوى ها هنا ويشير إلى صدره ثلاث مرات. Piety is here. And he pointed, the messenger pointed to his chest 3 times عليه السلام. بحسب امرئ من الشر أن يحقر أخاه المسلم. It is enough of an evil from a person that he looks down upon his Muslim brother. كل المسلم على المسلم حرام دمه وماله وعرضه. All of the Muslim upon the other Muslim is haram, his blood, his wealth and his honor. The hadith having been narrated by Imam Muslim. Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Abad's explanation to this is of four parts. As for the first part, the Shaykh, he explains the statement of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam up until he said, وَكُونُوا عِبَادَ اللَّهِ إِخْوَانًا. He explained all the way, including the statement, none of you should enter upon the business transactions of the other. Everything he explained in the first part till that point, including that point. And then the second part is when the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam says, وَكُونُوا عِبَادَ اللَّهِ إِخْوَانًا. You should be brothers to each other. Slaves of Allah, you should be brothers to each other. So we'll go over the first part. The first part, we can break it into five parts. The first part is concerning the statement of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam when he said, لا تحاسدوا. Do not have hasad towards each other. Hasad, that is that a person, he dislikes to see the blessing of Allah upon others. Hasad, Ibn Taymiyyah has defined it as that you hate to see the blessing of Allah upon others. Whether it is of dunyawi matters, worldly matters, materialistic matters, or whether it's about deeni matters, religious matters, that you hate to see the blessing of Allah upon someone else. This is a more precise definition of al-hasad, as defined by Ibn Taymiyyah. Then on the most part, that will result in tamanni zawal al-ni'mah an ghayrika. That will result in wishing for the discontinuation of that blessing of Allah upon someone besides yourself. You see your Muslim brother, he is enjoying a certain blessing of Allah upon him. You end up hating that he has that blessing upon him. And that on the most part would result and would be in, would be accompanied with the wish for that blessing to discontinue from him. Concerning this, Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Abbad, he said, Al-hasad yakunu fil umur al-dunyawiyah wal-ukhrawiyah. It occurs in dunyawi matters and it occurs in dini matters. A person sees that so-and-so has a nice house. He hates it in his heart. He hates to see that that person has a nice house. You find that so-and-so has a nice car. In your heart you feel this karaha. You feel this dislike. That so-and-so, he's driving that nice car. In your heart you feel it. On the most part, you'll also end up feeling that that person no longer has that house anymore. That blessing of that house, yazul, it ceases, it discontinues, it stops. That car that he has, that job that he has, that career that he's pursuing, the marriage, he's got married, you hate it. He's had a child, you hate it. His children, they are progressing, they're getting good grades at school. You hate it. You wish that it stops. This is what al-hasad is. This is what al-hasad is. Whether you wish, Shaykh Abdul Muhsin, he says, sawa'an, whether you wish, tamanni intiqalaha ila ghayrihi, tamanni intiqalaha ilayhi, whether you wish for it to be transferred to you or not, regardless of whether you wish for that blessing to be transferred to you or not, you just hate the fact that that person has that blessing, you want it to stop, regardless now of whether you want that blessing to be transferred to you or you don't, it's hasad still. You're jealous of the fact, you have this hasad, this jealousy that so-and-so has such a nice house. It is defined as jealousy because of the case that you have this dislike, whether or not you want to have that house for yourself or not. Even if you don't want that house yourself, if this dislike in your heart has entered into your heart concerning the fact that he has this nice house, it is considered hasad. It's considered jealousy. You may not even wish to have the same job that he does, but because you dislike the fact that that person has that job, it's defined as hasad. However, if it is the case that you wish what that person has, you wish the job that he has, you wish the house that he has for yourself, but at the same time, you don't wish, or at the same time, you don't hate the fact that he's enjoying that blessing, and that isn't hasad anymore. Right? So and so, he has got married, for example. You also wish that you got married, even if you're a married man. You just so happy, happens to be the case, so-and-so's got married, and I wish I could increase in the khair. Expand in the khair. After this, I'll be going home to Nelson, but you'll be here, Juan. If you get in trouble, don't blame me. You want to expand upon the khair
But at the same time, you don't hate the fact that he's got married. Ah, is this hasad now? It's not hasad at all. Even if you wish that you have more than he's got in terms of blessings. I'll give another example. Somebody has got a job where he is earning a good salary. He's earning, I don't know, £3,000 a month, for example. You wish the same thing for yourself. You wish that I had that job as well. I had that job and I wish that I had a better salary than his. £5,000 a month, for example. So now, not only are you wanting the thing that he has, you want more than what he has. Jaiz. Permissible for you to wish that. Permissible for you to want that. As long as you do not dislike him having that job of £3,000 a month. That's the main thing. That's the main point. You don't dislike it in your heart. Even if you haven't reacted physically, you shouldn't dislike the fact that your brother has a blessing. If you dislike it, even if you don't physically react to this impulse in your heart, you dislike the fact that he has this blessing, but you don't react physically. So you don't, for example, grimace on your face when it's the case that he says, yes, I've got married, or I've got this really good job, or I've got this car. There's no physical reaction on your face. There's no physical reaction and response from your tongue. There is no reaction from your limbs, and so on and so forth. But it's still hasad. It's still jealousy. It's still a sin. It's still blameworthy. Because the feeling is in your heart. That dislike for the blessing being granted to your brother, that dislike is in your heart. So that is the thing that you are meant to now supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove from your heart. So Allah's Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, in this narration, in this tremendous narration, this narration which is from the foundations of your religion, Imam al-Nawawi, what does he say at the Muqaddimah? What does he say at the introduction? That is gathered together those ahadith that are from the usul of the deen, from the foundations of the deen. Therefore, this narration here, it's not a minor matter. It's not something that if I don't practice it, it's no big deal. Major matter here is from the usul of the deen. Meaning, brotherhood is from the usul of the deen. Brotherhood is from the foundations of the deen. And brotherhood, it has its requirements. It has those things that bring it about and keep it intact. And here the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he mentions to us those requirements of brotherhood, ala sabil al-mithal, la ala sabil al-hasar. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam mentions to us the requirements of brotherhood by way of example. He mentions some examples of brotherhood, some examples of the requirements of brotherhood. By way of example, he mentions them. He doesn't limit them and restrict them here. They're not mentioned ala sabil al-hasr, but rather they mention ala sabil al-mithal. They're not mentioned in the sense of restricting the requirements of brotherhood to this hadith, but rather by way of example, because these examples, they are jami'ah. They are jami'ah. They are collective. They gather together and have inclusive within them so many other requirements of brotherhood. That's what the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, لَا تَحَاسَدُوا. Don't become jealous towards one another, because the one that is jealous, he is عَدُوٌ ni'mah. He is an enemy to the blessing of Allah. How? Because he hates to see the blessing of Allah being manifest upon someone else. So in reality, al-hasid, adu ni'matillah, as ulama they have mentioned. He is an enemy to the blessings of Allah. Then the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, he then said, ولا تناجشوا. And don't practice najsh. Do not practice najsh. Najsh, that is artificially inflating the prices. You artificially inflate the price of something, either in order to benefit the businessman himself, or to harm the one that is purchasing that item. How does it occur? How does najsh occur? You either do it to benefit the businessman. For example, the businessman, he's selling a bottle of water for £1. Somebody comes along, he wants to purchase it. He says, I'll buy this off you for £1. You, in order to help the businessman, because he's your buddy, he's your friend, you, in order to help him, you say, no, I'll buy the bottle of water off you for £1.50, for example. Even though you do not intend to actually buy it, artificially increasing the price. Or, the other surah, the other scenario, is that you artificially inflate the price in order to harm the buyer. The buyer comes along and he says, oh, I really need that bottle of water. I'm really thirsty. How much is it? It's for £1. You can have it for £1. You then come along and you say, I'll buy that bottle of water off you for £2, for £1.50, £2, £3, £5, whatever it may be. Do you intend to buy it really? No. You're just artificially inflating the price. What's the gharad? What's the intent behind it? What's the objective? Why are you doing it? You're doing it in order to harm the person. So he has to pay extra. Because your intent is to harm him. So here the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he prohibited this. Why? Because this is something that leads to the harming of the brotherhood. People inflating prices artificially. This will result in the harming of the brotherhood. So that was the second matter. Third matter is concerning the statement of the Messenger of Allah, وَلَا تَبَاغَضُوا, and don't hate one another. Don't hate one another. And that is because of the case that naturally hating one another, that will bring about splits between the Muslimin, splits within the Ummah. And Allah Jalla wa Ala in His book and the Messenger of Allah in His Sunnah, they have prohibited us from being like those who came before us, who ended up splitting, as a result of which animosity and hatred occurred between them. Here the Messenger of Allah, he said, وَلَا تَبَاغَضُوا, don't hate one another. This statement is comprehensive. It is collective. Included within this statement are all of those things that bring about hatred. And from those things that bring about hatred is bid'ah. From those things that bring about hatred is bid'ah. Because when it is the case that a person innovates something into the deen of Allah, he either يَخْتَرِعُهُ, he either devises it himself, or he's someone that is practicing it and preaching it and calling to it. Whatever of the two situations it may be. When a person is upon innovating in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Ahlus Sunnah, people of the Sunnah wal Jama'ah, by the very fact that they are the people of the Sunnah, and by the very fact that they are the unified body, imitating the companions ridwanullah ta'ala alayhim, by virtue of the fact that they are the people of the Sunnah, they will then end up correcting you when you commit the bid'ah. When they correct you, when they say don't do this, you're not going to like it. You're not going to want them to correct you. You're going to want to continue upon your bid'ah. As a result of that, what's going to happen? The baghd is naturally going to occur. Animosity and hatred is naturally going to occur. Splits and divisions is not naturally going to going to occur. So inclusive within this, the ulama, they say, this comprehensive statement of the Prophet when he said, don't hate each other, inclusive within this, is don't do those things that is going to bring about hatred between you. And the thing, that one of the greatest things that brings about hatred between the Muslimin is bid'ah, is innovation. Then the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, وَلَا تَدَابَرُوا, and don't turn away from each other. Don't turn away from each other. Shaykh Abdul Muhsin al-Abad, he said, وَالتَّدَابَرُ الْمُقَاطَعَةُ وَالتَّهَاجُرُ فَلَا يُحِبُّ أَنْ يَلْقَى أَخَاهُ بَلْ يُوَلِّي كُلُّ وَاحِدٍ مِّنْهُمْ دُبْرَهُ بِسَبَبِ مَا يَكُونُ بَيْنَهُمَا مِنْ تَبَاغُضُ. At-tadabur, this turning away from each other, it's boycotting. Boycotting each other. And thus, the person doesn't want to meet his brother. Yani his Muslim brother. Rather, both of them, all of them, they turn away from each other because of the thing that brought about the hatred between themselves. Some personal differences between themselves, as a result of which they turn away from each other. Obviously, as far as the people of bid'ah are concerned, the people of innovation are concerned, those who innovate in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they are مُسْتِرُّونَ عَلَى ذَلِكَ, they continue upon that, they stick to that, even when it's clear to them that what they're upon is innovation, then as we know that the Salaf, the early Imams of the past, they were the exception to this general rule, to such an extent that you find some of the Salaf saying, I rather be around apes, pigs and monkeys, than be around Ahlul Bid'ah, than be in the company of Ahlul Bid'ah. From them were those that would say, Ahlul Bid'ah, you do not give salam to them. You don't give salam to them. That's the right of the Muslim in general. Ahlul Bid'ah, exception now. This does not mean the general Jews. The people of innovation, those who devise the innovation, those who preach to it and call to it, based upon the proof having been established upon them, those type of people, the Salaf, they would not give salam to. They said, do not visit them, meaning when they're sick. Don't pray upon them, meaning at their funeral. So obviously, are there exceptions to this rule? Yes, but we're talking about the general rule of thumb. The Muslim, he's not to be boycotted. The Muslim, you don't turn your back towards him. Next, the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, وَلَا يَبِعْ بَعْضُكُمْ عَلَى بَيْعِ بَعْضٍ. And let's not one of you enter upon the business transaction of the other. Let not one of you enter upon the business transaction of the other. What is this in reference to? Shaykh Abdul Muhsin al-Abad, he said, وَالْبَيْعُ عَلَى بَيْعِ غَيْرِهِ أَنْ يَتَبَايَعَ إِثْنَانَ سِلْعَةً وَهُمَا فِي مُدَّةِ الْخِيَارِ فَيَأْتِي آخر إِلَى الْمُشْتَرِي فَيَقُولُ لَهُ أُتْرُكْ هَذِهِ السِّلْعَةِ وَأَنَا أُبِيعُكَ سِلْعَةً مِثْلَهَا أَوْ أَحْسَن مِنْهَا بثمن أرخص مما اشتريت به وهذا العمل يسبب التباغض. So entering upon the business transaction of your Muslim brother, that is when your Muslim brother has entered into, he is in the state of khiyar, he is in muddat al-khiyar, he's in the state of choice. Meaning, he's agreed to the business. I sell you my bottle of water, for example, for £1. Do you agree? Will you buy it? So you start haggling with me. Especially if you're from London. You start haggling from me. Us northerners, we're simpletons, aren't we? You say, no, I'm going to have it for 90p. Which is good. It is good. There's nothing wrong with it. Haggling is good. It is a good thing. You say, no, I'll have it for 90p. Yeah, I'll give it to you for 90p. I say, Okay, no problem. I agree. 90p. Now we have agreed. We said we're going to engage in this transaction. We've agreed. Ittafaqna. That is now muddat al-khiyar. That is now the period of choice. As long as I am there, in the shop, in the house, wherever, in the market, in that place with him, with that businessman, I haven't left the mahal, I haven't left the store, the shop, wherever it was. As long as I am there, that is muddat al-khiyar. That is what they call majlis al-khiyar. The place where you're in the period of choice. So, for example, so you've sold it to me. I may have even given you the money. I've got the bottle in my hand. As long as I'm still with you physically in that place, then I have a choice of going off with it, continuing with it, or cancelling the transaction. Allah the Most High has given us this option as far as business transactions are concerned, for me to cancel the contract, for me to cancel the transaction. As long as I'm there in that particular place, it may be for 5 minutes, it may be for 10 minutes, maybe for a few hours. Sometimes you go and you want to buy some sofas. So you go and you say, I want this sofa and I want this, and how much is it going to be? He says it's going to be this much. It's going to be, I don't know, £500, for example. So you say, okay, yes, I agree. Yes, I'm going to do it. He goes, okay, come with me. You go with him into the office. There's paperwork to do and things like this. It may take 1 hour, it may take 2 hours. You never know, sometimes these type of things happen. As long as you're with him, as long as you're together in that place, then that is what you call muddat al-khiyar. That is what you call that period of khiyar, that period of choice. So as soon as that happens, as soon as you agree, then it is not permissible for someone to now come along and say, ah, don't buy that, buy it off me. I'll sell you that thing for a cheaper price. As long as you are fi muddat al-khiyar, that is not allowed for someone now to come along and say, don't buy that bottle of water from him for 95p. I'll sell you it for 50 pence, for example. If I'm still with that person who sold me that bottle of water, you can't come along and say, nah, cancel the transaction. Why? We'll mention why shortly. So that's one scenario where you can't come to the one that has purchased the item and say, I'll sell you it for a cheaper price. Or, I'll sell you something that is better than it for the same price. You can't enter upon that business transaction while he is fi khiyar, fi muddat al-khiyar. Likewise, you can't come up to the businessman himself. You can't come up to the salesman himself and say to him, that item that you sold there, I'll buy it off you for a bigger price. I'll buy it off you for a bigger price. You sold the bottle of water for 95p, sell it to me for £2. Haram for you to do this. You can't do that. It's not allowed. As long as it is fi muddat al-khiyar, the act has been made, the agreement has been made, you can't do that. Likewise, sometimes you find that there is shart, there is a condition that's been placed. They have a shart for khiyar, a condition that's been placed as far as choosing this commodity and this item is concerned. Yani, for example, the businessman sells the item to you and he says, you know what, you've got 3 days. You've got 3 days to see whether or not you still want to have this item. You've got 3 days, you can give it back to me. He might place conditions that the packaging hasn't been opened, and so on and so on. He might state certain conditions, or the packaging's been opened but it's not been used, and so on and so forth. He might place certain conditions. You can't go up to that person while he is still, fi muddatil khiyar, he's still in that period of khiyar, that period of choice. Even though he's left the premises, he's left the store, he's left the shop, he's left the market, he's taken the item home. You can't come up to your brother and say, how much did you get that here? Did you get that for £5? I would have sold it to you for £4. You can't do that. Haram, you can't do that. You can't come up to him and say, give it back and I'll get you one for the same price but better. I'll get you the same computer, but this computer, it has more gigabytes. It has a monitor with it and so on and so forth. Same price. You can't do that. Even though he's left the premises, he's taken the item home, وَلَكِنَّهُ فِي مُدَّةِ الْخِيَارِ. He is in that period of khiyar because him and the salesman made an agreement that I've got 3 days to choose. So those, and likewise, so when is it the case that you can't enter upon the business transaction of your brother? When can you not do it? When can you not do it? In the middle of selling, can you be a bit more definitive? When he's agreed, when the agreement has been made, when the agreement has been made, £5, you want it or not? Yes, I want it. Do you agree? We agree. Should we do it? Let's do it. And you might shake hands on the agreement, for example. It's been made. It's been made. Whether it's a written agreement, verbal agreement, it's been made. Khalas, qudiya al-amr. Case closed. Finished. But likewise, just before that, the fuqaha, the jurists, they mentioned, just before that. We're mentioning this just so that there is no ambiguity concerning it. Just before the agreement is fully made, that period which is just before it, they call it يعني مدة الركون, when the two haven't made the official agreement, however both are happy with the price. Both are happy with the price. Right? How much do you want this bottle for? I want it for 50p. No, you can't have it for 50p. It's for £2. So now we're still bargaining. We're still haggling. This is not muddat al-khiyar. It's not muddat al-rukun. It's none of that. You can easily come over and say, hey, buy it off me for 50p if you want. Why? Because you're still the customer is still going from one shop to another, or he's still bargaining. So you say to him, I'll sell you it for £3. He says, no. He pulls out his phone, he goes on Amazon. He says, no, it's £2. Yeah, I prefer this item. So there's bargaining still going on. He's still going from one shop to another, from one salesman to another, and so on and so forth. In that scenario, where the price, neither of the two parties are satisfied and happy with the price, in that scenario, you can come and enter upon the transaction of your brother. Because no real transaction has actually occurred. There is no agreement or happiness with the price. However, there is that period called مدة الركون where you, the salesman, set the price and you agree with it. The customer, he said the price, or he suggested the price, or he heard your price, and he agreed with it. £5 for that thing? Okay, that's a good price. That's a good price. The salesman, he said £5. The customer said, okay, that's a good price. I like that price. That price, I want something for that price. Or the customer says £5, and the businessman, he says, okay, yeah, £5, I agree with that. That little period there, that period as well, not allowed for you to come and enter upon the business transaction. Wadih ikhwana, is it clear? That small period, that little brief period, it might just be a few seconds or so, or half a minute or so, you can't come into that period and enter upon the transaction. So it's clear, right? It's clear in terms of what al-bay' ala bay'i akhik, what it means. Entering upon the transaction of your brother, it means. Whether it is in terms of you approaching the customer, or you approaching the actual salesman. Whether it's once the item has been purchased, or while he's still in the shop, and so on and so forth. And we've explained that. Why are these things haram? Why is it the case that this is haram? How can this lead to tabahut, hating one another? How can this lead to harm? Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, he mentions in his explanation of this hadith, three reasons. Again, not ala sabil al-hasr, but by way of example, he mentions three reasons why this is haram. The first reason, أن المشتري يكون في قلبه حقد على البائع ويقول هذا الرجل غلبني وخدعني. When you purchase that item from that businessman, you go home with that item. Somebody comes over and says, you purchased that thing for £5. Did you not know you could have got it off me for £1? And his is from China. Mine was here, made in the UK. How will you feel now? You're going to feel tricked. You're going to feel tricked and duped and defeated. It's not a nice feeling to have. And therefore, you shouldn't allow your brother, your Muslim brother, to feel that towards his Muslim brother. Secondly, Shaykh Uthaymeen, he says, أن المشتري يندم ويقول كيف أشتري هذا بمئة وهو بتسعين وإدخال الندم على المسلم محرم. The second reason why this is wrong, the second reason why you can't go to your Muslim brother after he's purchased something from his Muslim brother and tell him, but you can buy the same thing off me for a cheaper price. The reason why this is wrong is because the customer is going to end up regretting, or even the businessman will end up regretting. If you say to the businessman, I could have purchased this thing off you for double the price, that person will end up regretting. He's going to say, how is it the case that I bought this for £100, riyals, whatever it may be, when I could have purchased it for £90. And so you enter regret into the heart of your brother. And entering regret into the heart of your brother is haram. Third matter, Shaykh Uthaymeen mentions, أنه ربما يسعى المشتري إلى إحداث عيب في السلعة أو إلى دعوة اختلال شرط من الشروط من أجل أن يفسخ البيع. So perhaps, thirdly, the customer may end up claiming that there is a defect. He may end up claiming that there's a defect with the item. He may end up making a claim that there is a defect in the item. He may himself put a defect in the item himself. And thus, as a result of that, he has deceived and tricked and lied. You purchase a computer from a shop, you come home, somebody says, you could have bought that off me for £90, you bought it for £100, you could have got it off me for £90. So what do you do? Put a little scratch on the base of the computer system. Take it back to the shop, say, oh brother, I'm really sorry, I'm really embarrassed, but this computer got a scratch on there. I'm going to have to give it back. It's defective. So you've lied and you deceived, and all of these are sins. So here Shaykh Uthaymeen is clarifying why this thing of entering upon the business transaction of your brother, why it is haram. Because it's going to bring about all of these harmful matters. It's going to bring about these matters that result in tabahud, that result in hating one another, disliking one another. You've done me over. So-and-so has told me that he was going to sell me that same thing for £5. You sold me for £10. You tricked me. It's going to bring about tabahud. It's going to bring about hatred. you deceive, you make the item defective, and then you take it back, and you say, can you refund it? Why? Because it's defective, that's why. What do you mean it's defective? When I sold it to you, I took a picture of the item. And when I took a picture of it, that crack wasn't there. You've done it on purpose. Ah, tabaghud is now occurring. Hatred is now occurring. You end up regretting. You end up regretting having purchased it from that person. And you always remember, ah, the regret that I had when I purchased that computer from that shop. Ah, I can't look at that person in the eyes again because of the regret, the memory of regret that is associated with that shop and that businessman. Wadih ya ikhwan, it's clear why entering upon the transactions of your brother is haram. Tamam. So that there is the end of part one, that there is the end of part one of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abbad's explanation. And then inshaAllah ta'ala, next week, no, not next week. Next week is the Cardiff Conference, sah? So next week is the Cardiff Conference. What's the date after that? It's not before the 8th of... Yeah, 1st of March. So 1st of March, inshaAllah ta'ala, we'll have a lesson, and then there'll be a break for about 2 or 3 weeks. 2 or 3 weeks after that. So our next lesson will be on the 1st of March, inshaAllah ta'ala, next week. Next Sunday is a conference, inshallah, in Cardiff. نكتفي بهذا القدر وصلى اللهم على نبينا محمد والحمد لله رب العالمين.